B-Pod Studios.
Gargano and Mertitus Middays.
Vinny Delco's on the Fnac. What's up, Vin?
Guys, how are you this morning?
Hey, Vin.
And look, I couldn't agree with you more, man. I am in this malaise. I feel like I'm stuck in quicksand and I can't get out. It's awful, man. You get so engulfed. And like you said, that 6-week period is so, your emotions are so ramped up and then it's just ripped away from you. Yeah, what do you do, man? I mean,
you know what it is, too? You have something to look forward to.
Yeah. Like absolutely. That, every
that's why
days,
they invented. That's why they invented bread and circuses in Rome, back in ancient Rome. They invented that to give people like us something to look forward to.
I mean, the highs and lows in that series alone, just the Toronto series, were incredible. And then, coincidentally, the highs and lows in that Game 7. Yeah. More incredible from the dreadful start to that great run to start the third where you're like, oh my God, we're going to do this. And then, you know, the three possessions where we can't get a shot off. And then Jimmy hits that shot and you're like, oh my God, we're tied up. Maybe this is meant to be. And then obviously the dagger, but where do you go from here? You know, and what bothers me even worse is the uncertainty about the team. I mean, I'm hoping everybody comes back, but you just don't know. It's like, are we going to wake up and this was just a dream? And, you know, we might not ever get to this again, or what are we going to do?
Yeah, I know. I hear you. It does feel like sometimes like a dream. I do, however, believe in that this is the beginning of something special.
I want to believe it, and I do. I just hope that they, you know, Brian, I thought Elton had a great season as far as putting this team in position to achieve, you know, what they could, and I just hope that, you know, continues in the offseason.
I'm with you, brother.
He's got a lot of work to do this offseason. I'll tell you that. They have 4 players under contract. He's got so much to accomplish.
The only thing that I have a little pang of worry is that these people around the country talk about Jimmy Butler going to all these different places. I'm going, am I missing something? Or
yeah.
Is he not a lock to come back?
You would think that, I mean, we heard what he said at his press conference, and some people read it differently than you and I did, but he didn't come out and flat out say, I love it here, this is where I want to be. He cited, hey, I'm going to get paid no matter what, the same no matter where I go, and we made the leap that he's saying that I might as well stay here, where I think I can win and I love my teammates, but we didn't hear him come out and flat out say, "This I want to be with the Sixers, I hope they want to be with me. I think we can do something special."
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know why he would go anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you really want to go to the Clippers? You really want to go to the Knicks? Like, seriously?
You got to see, I guess, how this all plays out with Durant and Kyrie. That's going to be a big part of the equation. The only 4 players they have under contract for next year are Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, Jonathan Simmons, or excuse me, not Jonathan Simmons. Wait, Embiid, Simmons, Jonah Bolden, and that's it. That's it. Everybody else is expiring. You got Jimmy Butler. Got to resign him. Tobias Harris, they going to resign him? Zaire, he's going to be here, obviously. What do you expect out of him next year? Can he fill that 2-guard role? Shoot a little bit?
Off the bench, you know. I mean, they need to upgrade.
Do you maybe hesitate on bringing J.J. Redick back? Because you'll have him off the bench as your 2-guard?
No.
No? So you still want JJ back?
I do.
Okay.
I want him back on a team-friendly deal.
Does TJ come back?
No.
TJ? Boy, you're going to send people into depression saying that.
No, well, they need a backup one that's a backup combo guard that can shoot.
Mm-hmm.
TJ, thanks. Great to have you. You're a great kid. Wish you lots of luck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll see you when we play Memphis.
So Drew tweets in, he goes, what are you talking about, man? Check attendance and TV ratings for the Phillies. I did. The Phillies right now, in April, this was the month of April. I don't have the May number yet, but they're up. The ratings are up in the market 31%.
Yeah.
From a 3.5 share to a 4.6, I think it is. So people were watching, and we know in April, like those games with Harper going nuts and hitting home runs, and there was a huge
buzz. I don't think there's a referendum on baseball.
No.
I the only thing I said to your question was,
mm-hmm.
It's hard to compare a May baseball game to a NBA playoff game.
Yeah. And we'll see. The really interesting thing to see, in the beginning, there's always a curiosity factor. It's the new restaurant that opens. You go a couple times, and you make your decision.
You think there's something deeper within the game?
Well, I think the game is flawed. I've been very vocal about that, and some people agree, some don't. And the idea that, you know, when they got Harper, made all these moves, that it was going to be exciting, and it's still baseball, and it is exciting, and they've been exciting. But it's still baseball, and the product is still flawed. We'll see if it has staying power. When you talk about the first month of a season, that's one thing. That's okay. You go, okay, good. People came. But if you go to the restaurant a couple times and you're served a bad meal, you don't continue to go. If you're not entertained, if there's not enough action for you as a consumer. Not, people vary. Like Andrew went last night. He goes every night. Guys like him die hard. Go all the time. He's totally into the way the game is now with all the shifts, launch angles, and everything else. Baseball's lost a few people. Does just Harper, Realmuto, and these guys, Hoskins, and bring them back and keep them? That's the question. Now, they did a good job because they got Harper, and they created a buzz. And look, 31% increase in rate in TV ratings. Big increase in attendance. They're fourth in Major League Baseball right now. But does it stay? If you win, you think it stays. It'll be interesting to see. It's one of those, be a case study because the sport has suffered in so many
places. I don't think here it's going to suffer. I think they're going to be in the playoffs. We go nuts.
They're in the playoffs. It's crazy.
Yeah, I don't think it's a problem here. I'm only saying it now because it's May. Like, come on, man. You know, you don't, like, you watch, but you don't watch with, like, this amazing intensity.
It's just a different game. It's not that way. Not right now.
Never in May. You always watch. You watch every night. The Phillies are more of a companion, right? So baseball's a companion piece. A playoff or a football game is more of an event.
Gotcha. Okay. I can buy that. They're just it's very.
Like, I need the Phillies to get through every day, but I need something else to look forward to.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
Plus, when it comes to talking about the two sports, you can talk more strategy with basketball. Like, oh, you got to defend the pick and roll better, or Boban shouldn't get any minutes. When it comes to baseball, it's like, all right, Cesar Hernandez versus Scott Kingery, right? I mean, that's part of the struggle with baseball. Well, you're not going to be talking as much strategy.
You know, I mean, there's some talking issues. I mean, when you look at the Phillies.
You can talk about Harper struggling and batting .219.
Yeah, I mean,
leading the league in strikeouts.
You still got pitching issues.
Yeah, all kinds of pitching issues. You're right. And then also, we're coming off the high of game seven.
You have a good game tonight because this is a rubber match with Milwaukee. And Milwaukee's a good team. You might see them. And tonight's a tough game. You got Arrieta pitching tonight.
Oh, man.
Now, let's see what he does against a hell of a lineup. That's a great lineup they got.
They're facing that mutt, Gio Gonzalez, though.
He's pitching well this year, though, Gio.
Yeah. It's good news for the Phils, though. I hate Gio Gonzalez.
I do, too. I can't stand him, too. But you get my point. This is a big night for Jake. Jake's doing a lot of pressure on Jake. Better come in.
Well, yeah, since making his comments, he has not pitched well.
No,
he went out
horrible.
Shopping for pressure, and he found it.
Well, look,
opening up his yap.
Yeah. And you know what? I mean, when you look at this game tonight, you want to look at a game tonight? Let's look at the game tonight. That Milwaukee team... They throw lefties at you, like a cavalcade of lefties at you, including the best guy in, you might be the best guy in baseball, other than Mike Trout, Yelich.
Yeah.
Christian Yelich is outrageous. You got Yelich at you. They got
Ryan Braun in Citizens Bank Park.
Who just owns the Phillies Citizens Bank Park.
What's the number?
Hit another home run yesterday.
Listen to this stat.
Eric Thames.
I looked it up yesterday. I looked at his splits because I heard that he's a very good hitter in Citizens Bank Park.
Oh, my God. Last year, he raked.
So in 35 games now or 36 games now, he has 14 home runs.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
He's
hitting
over .400. His on base is over .400.
Trade for him. Make him a Philly.
Yeah. They got Moustakas.
Yeah.
Who's nasty. The Grandal. How'd they get Grandal? Why did Dodgers let him go?
Yeah, that was confusing. Confusing.
I mean, he's a rare catcher with pop. He's got a lot of pop.
Philly slim fave tonight, -110. Very slim. Arrieta.
I mean, that's what Jake.
You have no idea. If he's a guy that's been very vocal when he's displeased. Well, dude, you got to
step it up. He likes a referendum type of game on him. You know that.
Yeah, he's got to step it up. It has to.
Yeah, you could, you know, big game. It's a team you're probably going to face. Let's see. Let's see. Beautiful night. See what you got, Jake.
Yeah, let's not blame the weather tonight. It's not going to be all wet and not getting a good grip on the ball. Let's go out there and dominate. All right, we'll see what happens. About rubber match night, 610-632-0975. That's number one, exactly one. Open line. It happens to be line one. Open for you if you want to grab it. Midday show on the Fanatic.
All right, great things every day at my casino and sportsbook of choice. That would be Parks Casino, Pennsylvania's number one casino. Look, we're delighted to tell you that Parks Casino, in partnership with Visit Bucks County and Visit Philly, proudly presents the inaugural Bucks County Food and Wine Festival at the beautiful Excite Center at Parks Casino Friday and Saturday this coming weekend. Yeah. Hosting local chefs and restaurants and breweries, acclaimed West Coast international wineries in celebration of delicious food, fine wine, and local brews. The Bucks County Food and Wine Festival at the Excite Center at Parks Casino. Yeah. This weekend, Friday and Saturday, special guest appearance by world-renowned celebrity chef Mark Murphy from the Food Network show Chopped. Friday and Saturday, May 17th, 18th, Bucks County Food and Wine Festival at Parks Casino. And join me tomorrow, Thursday, for a special afternoon broadcast live from the Oaks Race and Sportsbook off of Route 422 in Oaks. That's right across from the Greater Philly Expo Center. Minutes from King of Prussia. We'll be there from 2 to 7 tomorrow. Must be 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Gargano and Martinez Middays. The Fanatic.
11 o'clock hour brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged.
What up?
All right, 11:20. Still May 15th?
It is. It's not September 7th.
Still May 15th. By the way, do me a favor. Somebody who saw the lottery show last night, I need to commiserate with how bad it was.
It's been bad for years now.
It was horrible last year.
Well, that dude's so awkward. The guy that gives you the picks.
Oh, my God, he's bad.
He's so awkward.
But it's horrid. It's a horrible telecast. Ew. And I love Woj, but Woj, stick to Twitter,
Holmes.
I like Woj. Like, I do. I go back with him a long time. He was at the Star Ledger to Woj when I was
the newer
Coast.
Star Ledger?
Yeah.
Wow.
Man. Me and the Woj were always friends. Wow. And he's a great dude. The Woj, but it's
a bit dry to Woj.
Well, yeah, and he needs somebody around. Like, he's got to be set up. Like, the Woj isn't a host. The Woj is, you know, let's go to the Woj. Yep. Woj, you got to make him into something.
Put it on a tee.
Yeah.
And let him hit. Yeah,
Woj,
no, you're right.
All right, what are you feeling? The Knicks, what are they saying? Well, you know, but it was just, what a horrible telecast.
All right, so let me take you to the countdown clock. I love the T-0 app.
Yeah, you have it.
I got everything in here. Eagles training camp. I'm making the presumption that it's going to start on July 25th, which is the last Thursday, essentially, of the month. That's usually when they start rookies and select veterans or full squad,
right?
Basically. A couple weeks before their first preseason game, like 2.5 weeks before. That is 70 days, 22 hours, 37 minutes, and 20 seconds from now. That's what you have to training camp. The first preseason game will come pretty much 16 days beyond that. No, about 2 weeks beyond.
Yeah,
that.
I mean, listen, I'm down. You know, listen, I love training camp. I do. Mm-hmm. Training camp's a little different these days, though. It's not as good,
it's
quite frankly.
Because you can't go like you did at Lehigh.
Yeah, I mean, Lehigh was awesome. I miss Lehigh.
Yeah, I miss Westchester.
All right. I mean, Lehigh was, the Lehigh 500. Like, mm-hmm. You know, they were break camp. Like, I don't know. I love that.
Yeah.
I get it. Teams just want to go, and they're, you know, a beautiful facility, that sort of thing. I get it. Nobody wants to do that anymore.
All right, so the NFL season will kick off, as we know.
That's outrageous.
September 5th.
Yeah.
At 8:20 p.m. on NBC.
No, listen,
right?
I already designed this. You know this? I already told you when I'll be totally out of my funk. August, you ready? 22nd.
What's the 22nd?
Can you believe this?
Go on vacation?
No. Do you think I know when I'm going? Do you think I know anything like that?
You'll know that more.
I don't plan anything. If in another life, like I would love to be just the, like I could just wake up. We wanted to, let's go to, you know.
Let's go to Greece today.
Let's go to Bombay. Here you go. Oh, I'm sorry. August. It's August 17th.
Jacksonville?
No, the 24th. I keep messing up. It's Florida, Miami.
Wow. Oh, the kickoff class.
The kickoff class.
Wow, Florida and Miami.
It's August 24th. It is.
Okay, where's that game at? Is it in Atlanta?
It might be.
Yeah, they've done it there the last couple of years. Wow. But 113 days until.
No, we got a real game.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. You need a real game.
Yeah.
I see, you know, college football, man. Yeah. I get a little Florida, Miami.
So you like your sports to be supplemented with more sports.
I do.
You like the combo. Like the fall's great because you have the NFL, obviously.
I like the confluence.
And then you have college football going on.
I love all that. Yeah, I need to be. I like.
You're inundated.
Yes.
You're an inundated man.
I do like that. It's why I never liked doing a beat.
Because you were too focused on one thing?
I don't like it. I got bored. It's too much.
You like the variance.
I do. I was like, all right, let me get in there. That's what I always would say to them. Because then you don't do anything. And people loved it. Like, can you imagine, like, if you're a beat writer, where, you know, you're not like your regular job. You're responsible for them.
Yeah.
Right?
Them and them only.
And then the minute their season's over and you're, you know, they're out of news, you know, you're off.
Yeah. You come up with a little bit of postseason
content. Because you work, you know, months in a row with very little time off. So you basically, that's basically your time, your comp time.
Yeah, you're beholden to their schedule.
And I didn't like it because I used to be like, all right, like after you go away, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
So then I would cover college football. I used to like doing all the other stuff.
Now, if you had to choose something to cover on a beat, which one would you choose? Would you go to the NFL beat because of the rhythm of their offseason and everything else? And the way the league is, the week-to-week elements of it. And
am I doing the league or just one team?
One team, if you got to pick.
Like the Eagles and one team?
One Philly team that you're going to commit to being on the
team. I don't want
to
do a Philly. That would ruin it for me. Let me tell you something. You cover a team on a daily basis, you grow to hate that team.
Well, you see everything.
You do, because you're too close to the players.
Mm-hmm.
It's not healthy.
So
it's not healthy for your own love.
But what sport would you choose out of the four majors? Which one would you choose to cover on a beat? Has to be the NFL for you, right?
Yeah, probably. I love college football. That's a fun.
Yeah.
Well, I like to pick your, you know, I'm going to go here. I'm going to go here.
Yeah, I like to go to Vanderbilt one weekend.
I do like to travel, though. So the NBA travels, or the baseball travels, the best travel.
Yeah, because you're in cities for multiple days.
Yeah.
Now, Andrew, would you choose baseball to be the beat for?
In fact,
he's got the perfect.
In fact, I may make him into being a baseball beat writer.
He'd be good at it. Sounds good.
He would be terrific at it.
Mm-hmm.
I just got to figure out.
That's a grind, man. That's a hard one to do.
Write.
I used to write for the station.
Yeah. No.
That didn't last.
They didn't think it was good enough for the station.
Yeah, I had to work with you. But you have the perfect temperament to be a baseball beat writer.
Yeah, you have to, it's different, isn't it?
Like there's a guy, you have to love baseball beyond baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Stark loves baseball. I'll put it this way.
It's his life.
So I'm covering, this is when I knew that I did not belong covering a beat. And I only did it for a year and a half. So I'm not even, you know.
There's
the Mets.
Yeah.
So it's August, beginning of August, I want to say. And I get called into the office in New York. So I go in and they go, listen, the Mets are like 30 games out of first place,
oh,
right?
Man.
They're horrible. So they go, listen, we feel like we're wasting you. Which was really a very nice compliment.
So the interest was low.
Right. So we feel like we're wasting you. We want you to do, we know you like to write, so we want you to do special projects. We're going to give you 4 pages, 5 pages on the Sunday paper, because we're starting a Sunday paper. But we also need you to do other things. Like if the teams are in the playoffs, you got to cover the other team. If you got to cover boxing, that's also going to come on. You got to do the fight game. I was like, yeah, all right. So they go, your first assignment in the new job is going to be Tyson. Tyson coming out, and you're going to go cover Tyson fight.
Wow.
In Vegas. I go, oh, yeah, right? Yeah. So, but he goes, finish out the week covering the Mets.
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
So I do my goodbyes, like, you know, whatever. So this one guy, there's like two, three writers who used to be, it's such a different time. There were a dozen, 15 writers maybe that traveled with the team. So the couple of guys come up and they go, wow, we're really sorry. I'm going, sorry? Yeah, we're sorry for you. You're losing your beat. And I went, no, man, I'm ecstatic.
Yeah, well, the beat is security for a lot of guys.
I feel like I just got paroled. Like,
I'm early release for good behavior.
Like, do I got to go to St. Louis and watch Mets Cardinals? I'm going to Vegas, and I want to go sit with Tyson and go cover. I want to go sit with, watch him train, and then go be in Vegas for 2 weeks.
Cuss the bottom.
Lose after cuss, unfortunately.
Yeah. But
you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's got to be a hard beat when the team's out of it and by mid-June.
But that's my point is, yeah. Andrew would love to baseball 24/7.
Yeah, because he'd appreciate the opponent as well. And he appreciates all those little things development.
Inside the park, man.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
No, and listen, I still love traveling and being at all those games. And I love going back to it, but I couldn't do it as my soul existence as a writer. Like, I couldn't do it. It was just too much.
Yeah, the travel
was... It wasn't enough to make me creative.
Yeah. It kind of...
I get bored.
It forces you the other way. You get locked... You start going... Getting into a routine that kills creativity.
Yeah, and I like
rigidity,
to write.
Rigidity kills creativity.
Yeah. Yes.
It does.
Yeah. But I think Andrew would be great at it.
I agree.
He knows the game. You got to know the game really, really well. And Andrew knows it. It's why you got to listen to him 6 o'clock for the baseball show.
That'll be again tonight, as a matter of fact. I'm going to come up with a name for the show. So a couple people tweeted some in. I'll give you them coming up. Let's get back to the phone. 610-632-0975 is the number. Two open lines. Grab him. Stephen Mayfair joins us on The Fanatic. What's up, Stevie?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing? So I'm thankful to be here, considering I died, came back to life twice in the past 4 months, between that Eagles game and the Sixers game here, the game 7.
Alshon and Kawhi.
And, I mean, I replicated, imitated I died in both games exactly the same. Standing up behind my couch, second half on, not sitting down. You know, the Alshon pass through his hands, fall to the ground and die. I'm watching this game here the same exact way, game 7. Ball bounces off the rim, 4 times, collapse. I just died right there on my living room floor. Couldn't help but correlate the two scenarios.
Exactly, you're so right. Oh, my God, Steve, you're right.
I mean, it's going to the conference championship in both sports.
Yes.
Coming down to the wire. And, I mean, I fall to the ground. My son's like, Daddy, you died again. And I'm like, I mean, like, I just couldn't help thinking. And then,
oh my God, you're so right, Steve.
And then I go to the Bears game with the double doink and I go, it's the quadruple doink. I mean, how does this happen to us?
Well, yeah. Steve, how long did it take you to pick yourself up after, the Eagles lost?
I swear it was at least 4 minutes. I mean, beer.
Back to normal. Get out of depression.
Get out of the funk.
Oh, my Lord. 2 months. I was on the edge, man. I was ready to jump.
Yeah,
I was.
Dude.
And you know what it is, though, Steve, too? Is that you feel, this is what people don't understand, is that like you feel such a sense of loss. Now, again, I'm not over-dramatizing it. I get there's real loss with death.
Sports loss.
But this is like loss. This is something that we put a lot of importance in our lives. It plays a role in our life. Right? Oh. Good or bad, it plays a role in our life.
Oh, it influences your days to come afterwards. I mean, you know, the investment that you put into the long seasons, to the long playoff runs, everything. And then And then for it to end the way that it ended in both of these two situations, I mean, like, right there, like, it's gut-wrenching. It breaks the heart, man. It really does.
Well, Steve, was your wife like, Steve, you got to get out of this, man. Like, come on, it's time to get back to normal. You got to stop walking around moping.
She smacked me across the face a couple times, you know what I mean?
When she said, you act like a man.
Well, I got one last thing for you, bro. I got one last thing, because you can relate to this. Don't you hate people that say, what do you see? Like, get over it. It's only the Sixers.
Yeah. It's only the Sixers. Like, are you serious? To come down to the wire the way that it comes down and the investment that you put into
it? Yeah, I don't care. Like, I don't care if you don't like it. That's fine. But don't tell me to get over it.
They're telling you what the value in your life and how you
exactly
value it.
Yeah. Yeah. Get over it.
Yeah.
All right. How about I run you over? I'll get over you.
Yeah. Well, it's like when people say to me all the time, how do you like hockey so much? It's like, what did I just do?
Dude, you know what? That's a great example.
You know?
That is a great example. It is. That is it's a passion of yours. Like,
yeah.
There's no doubt in my mind you should be doing that as a beat. Like,
The
hockey beat.
If I'm choosing a beat, I'll choose that beat.
But that's a great, you know the sport. You're at the sport, you know, all off season. Like, you're in rinks.
Yeah.
With your kids, you're coaching.
Last 3 days.
That's your sport.
Yeah. It's just,
People go, how do you like, I do. Like, you should never feel, like, people go, well, how come you're not watching this? You're watching hockey. So be it.
Yeah, or if I tweet something there.
Yeah.
Hey, the Sixers played tomorrow.
Yeah, no.
It's like, no, dude.
No, dude, I'm with you. Yeah. I got your back on that because that's your passion. I'm a big believer in passions.
Yeah.
You should never tell anyone about their own passions.
Yeah, I put it in my Twitter bio that I do care about hockey and I will tweet about it. So if you don't like it, then just don't follow me.
Yeah.
It's real simple. I love it. I love the sport. I love every element of the sport. The nuance. Everything about it. The only thing I don't like is the nicknames. Everybody's got a nickname.
It's like in baseball, too.
Yeah. Every sport's got their own lingo.
Yeah.
610-632-0975. John in Pennsburg joins us on the Fanatic. What's up, John?
Yo, what's up, guys?
Hi, John.
First, the draft last night, it was like fingernails on the freaking dark.
Thank you.
It was
uncomfortable to watch.
Is there any other player being drafted?
I know! That's what I couldn't get over, John! It was the Zion show! Lord!
Why did they just have that? Because I felt bad for the other kids.
So did I!
I forget the girl's name. She kept going, hey, Zion, are you nervous yet? And then a couple minutes later, are you nervous yet? It's just like, why don't you just have him on the show?
Exactly! Watching those kids, I'm going, I hope those kids come out and they give it to him. I felt the same exact way. Everybody else was ignored.
But the greatest thing, though, I got over the Sixers loss by watching the Knicks fans' reaction.
That was great.
That's where I did not want him to
go
at all.
I know.
And when they showed a gif of I guess it was a bar somewhere, and the Lakers get the fourth pick, and they're like, yeah! And then all of a sudden, with the third, the Knicks, I'm like, son of a... And then Stephen A. Smith went on a rant, I guess on Instagram or something, and I heard that this morning.
I heard about this. I want to talk about this, John.
And I was laughing my ass off. I'm like, good.
He wants the league to rig it.
Yeah.
Because he's a Knicks fan.
And the two bigger markets, L.A. and New York, are
first of all, how the Lakers get four? They had a 2% chance to get four.
Well, that was that's LeBron.
But if you go out to the website, like ESPN, and you see a picture of Zion when he's leaving, he just looks like someone just stole his cookie.
Yeah, because he don't want to go to New Orleans.
Siberia.
But that's not Siberia. That's not right.
Yeah.
Listen, that's a great American city.
Yeah, but players look at it differently.
Oh, stop. This day and age.
They want to win.
You're in college. Win what? You played 1 year in college. You want to win, stay at Duke.
Yeah, but it's so easy to look around the NBA and go, here are the teams that are on the rise and are going to a place where they can win it, and here are the teams that never going to
go. Now we got kids coming in the league who now want to dictate. Now they want to win.
Yep.
They don't even know. They're not even scrubbed behind the ears, and they're worried about winning.
Well, they're also looking at a guy like Zion's looking at the market going, can I make endorsements playing for the Pelicans?
Here's the deal about that. The league is a national league. You don't need to be at Madison Square Garden to get endorsements.
Well, he'd get a lot more if he was in New York, though.
You don't need to do that. No, but you don't. In this day, Chris Paul is Mr. State Farm. Right? Like, there's guys nationally that have all the indoor. They play anywhere. You can play anywhere and if you're good. Endorsements.
If you're good, yeah. But if you're playing in a city like New York, L.A., Chicago, Boston, Philadelphia.
I get New York and L.A. I get it in Chicago. I get it. I mean, I'm not dumb. I understand. However, these kids are draftees. You don't bend over for these draftees.
Well, Stephen A. Smith was insinuating they should bend over the league because it's better for the league
if
the Knicks
are good.
Well,
that's just asinine.
He's right in the sense that it is better if the Knicks are relevant in the NBA.
Okay, you don't rig the league.
You don't rig the league for it.
Then do this. They get rid of Memphis. They get rid of New Orleans.
Yep.
They contract.
Exactly.
What about those people down there?
Exactly. No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
They just have six teams.
Yeah, in the major markets. And that's it. And leave it alone. For him to suggest that. Is offensive to the NBA.
Yeah, it's a take.
Yeah.
Take.
Yeah. Hot fire.
Let me go
fire emoji take.
Take.
Yeah. I don't take him. I can't take
it's
him.
Not, it's not Steven. It's the... I don't like the takes. I hate the takes because they're all nonsense.
You know what? Since
trade to Joel Embiid. We'll tell you about it next.
I don't want a hot take. You know the people that I can't... On Twitter, people like find an old tweet of yours and they tag old takes exposed. Like there's some sort of Twitter police. Like, if
or they say, this aged well.
Yeah. It makes you want to slap. It's like, dude, it was an observation at the time.
This aged well.
Like, the Sixers look like crap tonight in the first quarter. Aged well.
There's nothing worse than that sarcasm. First of all, that passive-aggressive sarcasm.
Yeah.
This aged well is almost as bad as, slow news day?
Yeah.
How do we become such a passive-aggressive, ninny, sarcastic society?
Because there's an anonymous outlet to do it called Twitter.
But
it's pervaded everywhere.
That tone is a horrible tone.
Yeah.
I'd rather you just go blast you.
Yeah. At least have the balls to blast me.
Well, no. Go blast. And
the passive aggressive approach.
Hate it.
Oh, look at you. This didn't age well. To line all those guys up. Seriously, dude, you got to be that guy. I love when people I'll tweet something about hockey and they'll tweet Mike. Look, Mike Martinez is tweeting about hockey. It's like, dude, you have no life. Seriously? You're like a tattletale? You know what I mean? It's crazy. 610-632-0975. Anthony's not over it.
A bunch of rats. Whole family, bunch of rats.
Are we getting any closer to getting you out of it? Or
what? Stop! I'm not out of it.
I'm trying to get you out.
I'm not going to be out of it. I'm not going to be out of it for months. So get used to it.
As a friend, I'm not going to stop trying. Just know that. The Martinez is, we have a saying in my house. We do one thing. We never give up. So I'm going to keep trying.
Good. Everybody can give up. I mean, go move on.
I've been looking for
what you got to do. Go down the shore. Go have fun.
Jump in the
ocean. Smile. God bless. All right. I'm going to be in the shadows.
You're not going to be out of it until you hear, watch the tram car, please. That's your happy place. 610-632.
I do like that.
Yeah. Salt water, taffy, salt air.
I'll be honest with you. I do like the Wildwood.
It's the Midday Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Hey, I got to tell you about FanDuel Sportsbook. It's offering a $500 risk-free bet to new users. And while the risk-free bet, it's amazing. It's a great deal. But it's just the beginning, because FanDuel Sportsbook has tons of other awesome promos happening all the time. On any day, you could find odd boosts, bet insurance, special bonuses, and much more. Plus, the new cash-out feature makes it easy to take your winnings early. Tons of sports to choose from. How about the NHL playoffs, the NBA, baseball, whatever. After Sunday night's game, do you like Toronto over Milwaukee on the road? Maybe a futures bet on the Fightins? And you can place a $500 risk-free bet on any sport when you use my code Jason. So download the Sportsbook app from anywhere in New Jersey, and you can sign up with my promo code Jason and make your first bet. If you lose, FanDuel Sportsbook will give you a refund of Insight credit up to $500. So download the FanDuel Sportsbook app now and claim your $500 risk-free bet before it's too late. You must not have previously placed any wager using your FanDuel Sportsbook account. Refund issued as site credit. Must wager amount equal to site credit before winnings can be withdrawn. Must be 21 or older and present in New Jersey. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Go to FanDuel.com/NJ for the terms and conditions.
Gargano and Martinez Middays. It's 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hello. Don't take
the damn out. I saw this band live. Man.
You did?
Yeah, Tough Crew.
That's cool, though.
Spectrum with LL Cool J.
I might have been there, too.
1990?
I probably was.
There was this thing that went around Twitter last week where you list off six bands that you've seen. Five bands you've seen live and one's a lie. And you list off all six. And I put LL Cool J on the list. And everybody was guessing that that was the one that I did not see. And they were incorrect.
Really?
Yep. I listed Metallica, LL Cool J, The Cure, Soundgarden. I forget the other one. But the band I had never seen was Soundgarden. Never saw a Soundgarden show.
I swear I see them. I saw them. I want to say I saw them in Chicago.
Yeah, good show.
Yeah, I'm a big Soundgarden fan. Yeah, like huge Soundgarden fan.
I liked it, but it never really, really moved me. All right, I put Metallica, LL Cool J. I put Adam Ant. A lot of people guessed that. You remember Adam Ant?
Yeah.
First concert I ever went to, Spectrum Showcase Theater. Remember they used to cut it in half with the curtains?
I do, yeah.
First concert, I think it was like 1983 or 84, the Strip Tour. And the Romantics were the opening act.
Wow.
What I like about you. Iron Maiden, Soundgarden, and The Cure. And Soundgarden was the band I didn't see. Some people were guessing Metallica.
I saw The Cure in Chicago.
Yeah? Good show?
Yeah.
Bit melancholy.
I didn't really care for him.
Yeah, I can't see you at a Cure show.
The this girl I was dating.
Things we do.
Yeah.
Real quick, a little bit of Eagles news. Adam Schefter just put out a series of tweets because the New York Jets have made a couple of firings, Anthony. They fired their GM, Mike McKagan, and player personnel, Brian Hermendinger. McKagan had 2 years left on his contract. So the Jets now, Adam Gase is the interim GM at the moment. But Adam Schefter puts this tweet out and says, the Eagles vice president of player personnel, Joe Douglas, is close to Jets head coach Adam Gase and has been discussed in league circles for a while now as the potential GM for the New York Jets. And now the seat is open. Have we seen the last of Joe Douglas in Eagle green? Jet green.
I'd miss Joe.
Yeah.
But if I'm the Jets, I go after Joe Douglas. It makes perfect sense.
Well, yeah, he's been studying under the tutelage of Howie Roseman, and you know you learn a lot with Howie about how to be a GM from the financial aspects. Every little piece
no,
of
listen.
It.
I mean, he's a great personnel guy, and you know, be good for him. Be good. I could say the only problem is for the Eagles, it's a big loss because you lose Joe, and you'll probably lose Andy. Andy and Joe are really close, kind of a package deal.
Yeah, they kind of came together, right?
Yeah.
But the thing is people say, well, just make Joe the GM here, right? It's easy. The GM position technically isn't even filled here.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is he's not going to have final say with Howie.
Nah, I mean, you always want your own.
You want final say.
Yeah, I mean, listen.
Doesn't matter. It's final say.
You always want to be in charge of your own ship.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just and it could be any business of what in life, whether it's your own department, if you're working for a corporation, whatever it is, you want your own, you know, your own division that you run.
Yeah, if you're going to be held accountable, you want to be held accountable by decisions you make because you feel like you're going to make the right decision.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we'll see how it plays out. But
plus, I mean, you just have that, you know, if you're an achiever, you want. You want the challenge.
Yeah. If you have any competitive juices in your body, and people in sports certainly do, then you want that challenge as well. The one thing I don't fear it because I feel like Howie will make the right decision on whoever replaces him. I feel like they'll make good
decisions.
They're
good guys, though, man.
Yeah.
They're good guys. They're not easily replaced.
Yeah, you don't go out and get the player personnel tree and just pluck a guy off.
I'm telling you, they're good. They're good.
Yeah.
They're grinders, too. Like, they're football guys to the max. Grinders.
Yeah.
Like, they're spending, you know, hours and hours and hours just grinding.
No, there's a lot of work that goes into it. You're definitely right about that. 610-632-0975.
Magic didn't want to be that guy.
It won't work.
It's the same thing in basketball. Like, you got to grind. Like, you got to go to Europe, and you got to go. And people think, well, I'm going to go to Europe. No, I mean, like, you know, you got to go to
long days.
And you're flying, and, yeah. and not only that. I mean, you're in places that are, you know, you're in Turkey, right?
In Istanbul,
right? Like, yeah. you're in places that are not exactly like the French. No, well, you know, the French Riviera. Like, you're. You know, you're all over the place.
You're watching Furkan Korkmaz,
yeah,
in Turkey.
Well, you're trying to find
them, but then you're all over the place, and you just got to grind. You got to watch tape. You got to do the whole thing. Like, you got to unearth. Think about this for a second, and I want to do this as a little exercise later, Andrew, because I think Andrew would be good at this. And that is, look at the teams left, the four teams left in the NBA, and look at all of its core guys, and then tell me where they were drafted.
Yeah, a lot. Look at Golden State.
Well, that's the point.
They found nuggets all over.
They didn't do the I was all pro process.
Yeah,
but those guys were able to unearth guys.
Yeah,
Giannis. Where was he drafted?
Like 15.
That's my point.
Yeah, yeah. There's guys. Look at the guy. Like, what was Draymond drafted in the second round?
Clay and Draymond. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that GM put in a lot of work to find those guys, and then. And
look at Siakam.
Then they develop, yeah.
Siakam, a key player.
Yeah, 27th.
You know, Kawhi, right? Like, all these great players.
Yeah, I think Kawhi was 15, too.
Look at these guys and where they were all drafted.
Yeah, drafting them. Because you got to portend how they're going to be, how they're going to develop it as an NBA player. And you look at the top of there, like Okafor was a consensus number one for a while, and then he ended up being the third pick. But he's not a guy that can play in the NBA. You got to look at transferable skills because the game's different.
It's amazing how he became antiquated. In a year. How much is that?
Like that, dude.
He became, like, when you think about the process and you think about some of the, like Jahlil Okafor. Wow. Like, talk about just a blip.
16, average 16
remember,
points.
Remember the
rookie
fight
year?
He had?
In Boston?
Yeah. Yep. Like, it was a big deal. Like, oh my God, Ja.
Yeah.
Ja.
He's putting the process in jeopardy.
Ja. And then all of a sudden, Ja is just.
Wasn't there stuff with his dad, too, or something?
Yeah.
There was all kinds of drama. You're right. But
his father wanted he didn't like it here. And
yeah.
There was a lot of issues. Like, were you going to play the kid? Like, there was just when you think about, I could hear Brett talking about Jahlil. Like, do it in his accent.
Jahlil.
Yeah. Like, you remember, like, these things. And, you know, when Brett said he's the fifth longest tenured coach in the NBA.
Oh, my goodness. I think after next year, he'll be the second longest tenured Sixer coach in history.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, right? 610-632-0975. Let's go to Hampton, and Ambler is on the Fanatic. Hey, Hampton.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Hamp.
Anthony, I met you with John Brazier a number of years ago down in Clearwater. I don't know whether you remember or not. You meet so many people.
If he was with Brazier, he wasn't sober. Not in Clearwater.
He probably wasn't, Hampton.
At the time, because it was before the game, so I guess he was still on duty. But anyway,
I would have been sober.
Two comments. Zion Williamson has been treated like a prima donna all year.
Yeah.
I heard you guys talking about
You're right.
I mean, I watched a bunch of his games. I mean, he's the LeBron James of college basketball. He walks, he charges, and he can do no wrong. The reason I was calling you guys, a player I think the 76ers really ought to take a look at, and I saw his name in a mock draft that I saw this morning, is Ty Jerome, the 6'5 shooting guard from UVA.
Yeah, I like Ty Jerome, yeah, sure.
Ty Jerome is a very good defensive player.
Yes, he is.
He's a heady player.
Yep.
He's not the fastest player in the world, but he plays great defense, great passer.
Yep.
And I think he's going to be there when they pick.
Yeah, he will. You know, they don't like to take those guys, those veteran type of college kids. And he knows. He plays the game the right way. There's going to be a couple guys out there. Like, you know, Carson Edwards could be there, too. We were talking about that earlier.
Yeah, I heard you talking about Carson. But Carson's only 6 feet.
I know.
And I think that's a limitation. I mean, he can shoot it over anybody. But Jerome can play really good defense, and he's 6'5". So
yeah.
I think that's a real plus.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Just a thought. Wanted to throw it out to you guys.
No, Sixers are long
already.
It's
a good call by you, Hampton. It's a good call. Listen, I'm up for any. You know, I'm going to look at that situation. Look for those guards. Like, that's a piece that I hope I can get. Now, again, you know the deal, though. Rookies don't win you titles, right? Like, draftees don't win you titles. So, yeah, I'm going to look for a guy, but I'm not going to look and go, well, here's my replacement as a backup one that's a half a combo and can shoot the three. Now, I'm hoping maybe I'll get there. You know, maybe down the line I get lucky and I can get a JJ replacement in 2 years. I don't know. But next year, I need, like, proven NBA talent.
Yeah. If you're going to be a legit NBA title contender next year, you can't be going into the season with a draft pick.
Yeah.
To fill that, because that's such an important role for this team. Yeah. That's one of the most important roles. If you go beyond the starters, right, mm-hmm. It's the backup point guard that can shoot and a big to be able to spell Embiid.
Yeah, you got to get a backup rim protector. I mean, you saw that. You saw that because you didn't have it with Boban, and you didn't have it with Monroe. By the way, did you see the John Wick snippet?
No.
Did you see it, Andrew?
I saw a clip of it a while ago with Boban.
Yeah, where he kills Boban.
I didn't see the whole clip, but I knew that they fought. I saw like a quick one.
He takes Boban out?
Yeah, Keanu.
Imagine the reach on Boban.
Keanu takes him out.
Keanu Reeves takes him out?
Takes out the Boban.
That's a violation. Keanu Reeves to take out Bobby.
He takes out the Boban.
The Boban.